Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín.
Good afternoon.
Y a todos los ministros,
greetings,
hermanos y
to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters in Guatemala, and also those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas, the satellite Eutelsat 8, and other means of communication. Today, Friday, October 11th of this year, 2024, our subject is Come Up Hither. It was preached on Friday, February 28th of 2014 in Villahermosa, Tabasco, Mexico. Dr. William Soto Santiago used the scripture of Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to 5 in this message, which let's read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. In the first verse which we read here, where it says a door open in heaven, there he underlines that part there, and it has an arrow coming out of it, a line coming out of there, and he writes Revelation 8, verse 1, which it is the seventh seal. In other words, the opening of the seventh seal happens where? Above. At that door that John saw and looked beyond the ages, a door in heaven. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he writes there, Most Holy Place. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, and he writes there, green, and around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Come up hither. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, when the Omnipotent speaks, miracles happened. Preached on June 11 of 2016 by Dr. William Soto Santiago there in Valencia, Venezuela, it says, the stone cut out without hands in his first coming was smitten on Calvary's cross, for the stone cut out without hands is Christ in his coming. He is the cornerstone. And in his second coming, in the proclamation of the day of vengeance of our God, that the statue will be smitten in the feet of iron and clay, that is, the kingdom of the Gentiles will be smitten in the stage of the feet of iron and clay, which it has been in for hundreds of years, of which, in the book of prophet Daniel, there he shows us this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, where he saw that stone smitten, that image. Look, it says on chapter 2, verse 31, it says, Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image, this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image had was of gold, fine gold, his breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut without hands, and which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together, and became like the shaft of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is what our brother William is speaking to us about here. And he says, he goes on to say, but God's elect will be in the stage of the end time, in the stage of the stone cut out without hands that is coming in this end time. There is where the elect of the end time will be represented in the message, the masterpiece, on page 37.
Nos dice aquí, el
Reverend William Branham tells us here,
Señor, no permitas que nadie
don't let anybody wait too long, Lord. Look awful close. The harvest is truly ripe. The great combine of God will sweep through the land one of these days. Straws will fly everywhere. See what we read there? In chapter 2 of Daniel, where it says there, on verse
35,
that the stone smites that image, meaning the kingdom of the Gentiles, in that stage. And it says, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And notice how here Brother Branham speaks to us that he, in his coming, he will sweep the earth one of these days. The straws will fly everywhere, but the wheat shall be gathered into the garner. And he writes, the harvest and a cornerstone taken up, for in it is life. And he writes in the left, Revelation 11 and 19, Moses and Elijah, God's coming with Moses and Elijah will sweep the earth. That is the stone cut out without hands, because what the seventh seal is to the church, which is the coming of the Lord, it is the seventh trumpet to Israel, which is Moses and Elijah, the ministries of Moses and Elijah, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. Now, our brother William goes on to say, and the voice of the Omnipotent will be speaking, and miracles will be happening according to the divine promises. Not only healing miracles, but the miracle of the gathering of the elect. Now, notice where that miracle takes place. It is in the come up hither. It is above, where in this stage that we are in, where the half hour of silence is being fulfilled on this earth. In other words, when he left the throne of intercession, he opened the book. That in Revelation chapter 8, it tells us there that when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That opening of the seventh seal is when he left the throne of intercession. And that gathering of the elect is the great miracle that is taking place at this end time. Wait, but you may say, but some people may say, but he was already gathering the elect. He has said it in many messages about the gathering and the elect of all that. Well, there was a little bit of everything there. And notice that in the end is when that separation is made, that segregation, and the elect of God, the wheat, is placed in the storehouse in the age of the cornerstone. That is the great miracle, one of the great miracles of this time. And let's continue to see what is the other miracle. It says, but the miracle of the gathering of the elect, the miracle of the resurrection of the dead in Christ. Notice another miracle that will happen at that time. Now, look, before we go on there, in the message Conduct, Order, and Doctrine of the Church, which is in Question and Answers here in Book 11, on page 3, it says, and then, when God's people begins to gather back together, and there on the right he draws a cornerstone at the edges, and he circles the cornerstone, meaning, when they begin to gather where? In the edge of the cornerstone. There is unity. And on the left, there he draws a Star of David. There is power, see? And when God's people get together completely, then I believe that the resurrection will take place then. Notice what our brother William is telling us here. After that gathering of the elect, which is taking place now, the elect being placed in the age of the cornerstone in the storehouse above, with the come up hither, with the voice of the omnipotent, notice, after that gathering, is when the resurrection will take place. I believe the resurrection will take place then. There will be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up. When the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit that we have, it says on page 154 of the Book of the Seals, becomes incarnate. Notice, that is where the Holy Spirit begins that work, gathering what? Gathering the group, the wheat. When the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up, it'll be in the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. Now, our brother William continues to say, not only healing miracles, but the miracle of the gathering of the elect, the miracle of the resurrection of the dead in Christ, the miracle of the transformation of the believers who are alive, believers in Christ, in the mystical body of Christ, the 30 to 40 days of stay on earth already transformed, where there will be great wonders and miracles being manifested, and many more miracles and wonders promised for that time of stay when the dead in Christ have already resurrected and we who are alive already transformed. Now, it also tells us about this in the message, the inner veil. In the version here, the title says the inner veil. In the subject, in quotations, is why are people so tossed about? On page 17, it says, into this holy place, Aaron went once a year. The congregation watched him. He was dressed right. He had to be anointed right. He had to walk right. Blessed be the Lord. Dressed right. Walked right. Anointed right. He had a bell and a pomegranate on his garment. And as he walked, they played, holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. He taken before him a charger of blood of the Lamb, the blood of the atonement, and he was anointed with the rose of Sharon, and the anointing run off his beard, plumb into hem of his skirt, and he was walking into the inner court in the presence of God, and when he went behind there, the veil fell behind him, and he was shut out. He writes there, the veil, inner court, most holy place, MHP, most holy place. He was hid from the outer world. Praised be to God. There is an arrow outwards, and a cornerstone, and the ages, and the arrow towards the cornerstone. Hiding place, abiding place, and there we see the gathering. Notice, and he writes, hiding and abiding place, the most holy place, which is what is taking place today. In other words, while the dispensation of grace was open, where he said, the door of the dispensation of grace will soon be closed. And then, notice, it is the come up hither. Those who have gone up to the age of the cornerstone and the dispensation of the kingdom are those who have heard the voice of the omnipotent and have been gathered in the stage of the age of the cornerstone where the resurrection and the transformation will take place. Whoever hasn't gone up is still in the dispensation of grace, as simple as that. Now, notice, in the front of that message there, he writes, the abiding place is the most holy place. In the message, Why Cry Speak, he also speaks to us something there on page 9, which is an excerpt that is placed in the Book of Quotations on page 105. So you have it there in the Book of Quotations as well, open there in that part, where I will be passing here in the booklet as well. In the booklet, it's page 9, and in the Book of Quotations, there is an excerpt in 907. so that we also see what he wrote in the book of quotations. But let's read here in the book, in the message, in the booklet, Why Cry, Speak, which is that excerpt that is placed there on page 105, paragraph 907. It says, just as we know, as a man asked me, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture, we know we've lived the time out. At the time of the rapture is at hand, and we are looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. When we see a God that can rise the dead off the floor or out of the yard and bring him back to life again and present him before us, when we see a God who can take a cancer that's eaten a man to a shadow and rise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people, that when that light flashes from the sky, and there he writes in the message, in the booklet, the second coming opened in the heavenly age, where? In the age of the cornerstone, that is where the mystery of the seventh seal is opened. Those who are not up there, well, they cannot understand and they cannot see, they cannot comprehend the mystery of his coming. He writes above there, the second coming opened in the heavenly age. When that light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into the heavens. And he writes on the left, here in the booklet, when the light shines, rapture in faith. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages there. Yes, there's got to be something like that happen, and our schools of theology can never produce that, yet they intellectually are all right. In other words, notice, even if there are churches, here he talks about schools of theology, but notice, even groups that have the message of Brother Branham, and even of our time, who have the message intellectually, see? He says, they are all right, but he says, he goes on to say, but you've got to meet that light. If they stay down there, they are not going to see the pillar of fire speaking to the people, bringing them the rapturing faith, where Brother Branham was shown, and when he saw the tent vision, where the angel took him to that activity, and he saw the pillar of fire speaking to someone higher above where he was, in other words, to that instrument, and there he was showing that it is the pillar of fire working in the midst of the people at that time which our Brother Branham was transported. But you've got to meet that light, and he writes there, the pillar of fire, you've got to find that something, see? And there he draws a cornerstone in the left and the ages, and above he writes, or in the left he writes, here in the book of quotations of this, of that excerpt, he writes, the rapture in faith transformation. He writes there on the next two, in that short part there that we are reading here in the booklet and in the book of quotation, it is that page 105 in the paragraph 907, where he writes in the left, rapturing faith, transformation. And on top of that paragraph, he writes, the trumpet, rapture time. And our Brother William continues to say, and at that time, there will also be great revelations for the believers in Christ and for the Hebrew people, and it will all come to its climax in the fulfillment of the third pool. Now, if there are great revelations, if there will be great revelation at that time, Brother William says here in 2016, well, that is because at that time, God will be speaking through his last dispensational messenger, which is the seventh dispensational angel messenger with the message of the gospel of the kingdom and thus fulfilling the promise of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. And he says, and at that time there will also be great revelations for the believers in Christ and for the Hebrew people. And it will all come to its climax, which is the fulfillment of the third pool, which is the stage of the word coming out of the mouth of the Son of Man, the two-edged sword, the word of God, which is like a two-edged sword. It is the voice of the omnipotent coming of the mouth of the Son of Man at the last day in the fulfillment of the third pool, in the tenth vision, in a great tenth cathedral, and with a little wooden room. The angel of the covenant, Christ, will be there, the pillar of fire, whirls away to there, which has been from age to age in the messenger of every age, and it will whirl away and be there. Reverend William Branham will be there as well. And if he isn't there, then he would represent the one who will be there. In other words, notice, he says that Brother Branham will be, he says that he may be in theophany, in he spoken in some messages, in his theophanic body, or once he comes in the resurrection, he will be there. Or, notice here, Brother Branham may be representing the one who will be there, Brother William says there. In other words, everything that was shown, typified, symbolized in Brother Branham is about that last messenger who is alive in the midst of the church bride in this end time, as simple as that. That instrument, that veil of flesh, which is where God is carrying out the ministry of the second coming of the Lord. Now, look, on page 80 from the book of quotations, on paragraph 683, that is why when in page 292 of the book of the seals, he said that when that bride, that is, when that group can take the word, meaning the message, and place the word right. In other words, it's not about having the message. And, well, it's because he said this over here, and he said that, and he said this. They take the message. They place the message where they think it's best and where it looks the prettiest. But it is not a matter of it looking pretty, nor that they interpret it in the way that they think it is, because he spoke a certain way, but rather the way that God gave that message and that word and that prophecy and everything that Reverend William Branham and Dr. William Soto Santiago brought, it is about placing it according to how God saw it and God's interpretation of that word. The word comes interpreted already. And as it is said, this is how God is carrying out what he promised. What we're seeing at this end time is what he promised, what Reverend William Branham forerun, and the good tidings brought by Dr. William Soto Santiago. Now, look, on page 80, we have to place the word right to have results. To have the results of the rapture in faith, the word must be placed right. Where? In the age of the cornerstone, in the stage relevant to this end time, the current stage with the current messenger who is alive in the midst of the church, as simple as that. On page 80, from the book of quotations, on the paragraph 683, he says, and I remember when he swept down there in that big light, standing yonder at the bottom of the river, 1933, in June, when he said, as John the Baptist was sent forth and forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world to forerun the second coming of Christ, and around the world she's went when revival fires had been built for 15 years on nearly every mountain, divine healing across the nations, and the power and restoration. And now I believe she's ready to strike that final climax. And there he writes, Fifth Elijah, yonder to bring forth a faith that will rapture the church into glory, and she's laying in the messages. And there he draws an arrow and a cornerstone and the ages and the arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes above, the final climax. And below he writes, the rapturing faith equals in the final climax. And now our brother William continues to say, just as Elijah represents the prophets who will have the ministry that he had, therefore he represents. The first Elijah represents the second Elijah, the third, the fourth, the fifth. He listed it there, and let's read it again. The first Elijah represents the second Elijah, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and he listed it there, and the first Elijah represents the second Elijah, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and that is why the ministry of each one of them is the ministry of Elijah, and for the last day with a double portion, with the portion relevant to the last day. In the message, the seed of discrepancy, there he speaks to us about those ministries, which there is a portion here that we will also be reading of, which is from the Book of Quotation, page 141 on the paragraph 1260. But let's read here directly from the message a little before reaching to that paragraph, and it says in page 4-5, 2 years later, I had been praying in a cave where I would go to pray, got dusty in a cave, and one afternoon I walked out, laid my Bible on a log, and the wind blew it open into Hebrews, the sixth chapter, which said that in the last days, how it would be if we fell away from the truth and renewed ourselves again into the repentance. There was no sacrifice for sin, and how that thorns and thistles, which was nigh into rejection, whose end is to be burned. But the rain cometh upon the earth often to water it, to dress it, but the thorns and thistle will be rejected, but the weed will be gathered. And I thought, well, the wind happened to blow that open. Well, I just laid the Bible down again and thought, well, now I'll just, and here come the wind and blow it open. That happened 3 times. And I thought, well, now that's strange. And then, and as I raised up, and I thought, Lord, why would you open that Bible for me to read that? And when I get down to that, where thorns and thistles, which is nigh into rejection, whose end is to be burned, I thought, why would you open that to me there? And as I look out across, now, these real visions come without pulling into any gear. That's just God. See, I looked and I seen an earth that was turning out in front of me, and I seen it was all dixed up. There was a man dressed in white went around sowing wheat, and after he went around the curvature of the earth, around came a man, looked horrible. He was dressed in black, and he was throwing wheat seeds all over it. They both came up together, and when they did, they both was thirsty, because a rain was needed, and each one looked like was praying, with his little head bent over. That is, both the wheat and the weed that the horrible man was sowing there. In other words, it is the tares, and each one looked like he was praying with his little head bent over. Lord, send the rain, and the great clouds come up, and the rain fell upon both of them. When it did, the little wheat jumped up and began to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the little wheat jumped up right at the same side and said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then the vision was interpreted, the rain, and he writes, H.S., in other words, Holy Spirit, falls on the just and the unjust. The same Spirit can fall in a meeting, and everybody rejoice in it, hypocrites, Christians, and all together. Exactly right. Didn't he say in a writing that the wheat, and the tares, and he says the tares will sit next to the wheat? But notice, in the end, there is another place where he says they went out of our midst because they were not of us, because that separation is taking place there. And it says, but what is it? By their fruits they are known. See, that is the only way it can ever be known. And above, he writes there, the rain of the Holy Spirit equals the former rain. The latter rain of the Holy Spirit for the transformation, gathering of the wheat. What is the latter rain for? Notice that the latter rain of the Holy Spirit is for the transformation, gathering of the wheat. Then, you see that now, since wild oats or wild wheat and grain sometimes impersonate a genuine domestic grain so close that it would deceive the very elect, I think we're living in a timely age when these things should be preached on and talked about. Notice, that time of which he spoke, of which Brother Branham spoke there, is this time in which we're living, where all those mysteries being revealed are spoken, and where all of that is spoken, and where it is made known who is wheat and who is tares by the word, because it says they must be preached and spoken. And look, that teaching has been preached, which that ministry was promised to be making known in the great tent cathedral, where the separation, the segregation would be carried out, which did not happen in the ages. Rather, that was for this in time. Now, look, and now let's get to that paragraph that's on the book of quotations, on page 141, paragraph 1260. It says, here on page 6, it's of this excerpt that is placed here. Notice, in verse 41, the two also very close, so close in the last days, till he didn't do. He could not depend on some certain church to separate them, say, the Methodist or the Baptist or the Pentecostals to separate them. He said, he sends his angels to separate them. An angel is coming to bring the separation, the segregation between the right and the wrong, and no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. He's the one that's going to tell which is right and which is wrong. God said he will send his angels at the last times, not angels down through here, in other words, through the ages, but angels at the last time. Which time? At the time, at this time, in the age of the cornerstone, and would gather together. That is why that did not happen in the time of our brother Branham, nor in the time of our brother William Soto Santiago. He did not bring the separation. They did not bring the segregation. That work is being carried out at this end time. We know that this is the coming harvest time now. When is the harvest carried out? At this end time, in the come up hither. Now, an angel is actually interpreted a messenger, and we see that there is seven angels of the seven churches, and now, known through the church ages. And here, in the booklet on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the last three ages. Here, in the book of quotations, he writes there, the writings that you already have there, which we have spoken and we have already said to you, and he says he will send his angels in the separation. And he also writes Moses and Elijah, the gathering and the harvest. What does Moses and Elijah do? Gather, harvest. See, he does that work of separation, of gathering, of harvest. And there he also draws three cornerstones there on the right side, and below in that same line on the bottom right there in the corner, the bottom part of the ages. And he also writes on the left, reap. And he continues to say in the booklet, notice who he said that the sowers were, and also that the seed was one, the sower was he, the Son of God, who went forth sowing seed, and an enemy, and he writes, the Antichrist, and an enemy came behind him, which was the devil, and sowed the seed of discrepancy behind the sowing, and sowed the seed of discrepancy behind the sowing of the right seed. Now, friends, that has happened through every age since we've had a world. Exactly. All the way from the beginning started the very same thing. Now, he said, the seed of God, the word of God. Jesus said in a certain place that the word is a seed, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. And now, if the Christians, the children of God, the children of the kingdom, has become the seed of God, then they must be the word of God manifested in the age that they are living in. For the promised seed of that age, God gave his word at the beginning, and each age has had its seed, its time, its promises. Now, notice, our brother William continues to say in the message that we're reading, there are great things that will be revealed in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. If they are going to be revealed, then there must be an instrument for God to make known that which he said that it will be revealed. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. When the people from this time, even from this time that comes to that part, when they hear that he said that in the tenth vision, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, great things were going to be revealed. No, but it's because he's going to return, he's going to speak that they are already adding to it there, and the person who adds to it runs the risk of his name being taken away, and if he takes away from it, if he adds to it, the plagues will be added to the person. Now notice, he continues saying, there are great things that will be revealed in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, because in order for it to make sense for them, then they have to take away from the word or add to it, so that the interpretations, the reasoning of each one of them makes sense. They then have to avoid all of this and avoid that at the end time God was going to have his last dispensational prophet, the Benjamin of the prophets, and they do not want to believe that, just as they didn't want to believe in Jesus back then. He goes on to say, there are many things that will be revealed in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, the coming of Christ with his angels to his church in the last day will be revealed, which will give her the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Notice, and if they cannot believe what God is carrying out, well, none of those who do not believe that will be transformed and taken to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They will be bound and cast into the great tribulation. As simple as that. And the Son of Man is coming to reward each one according to his work, and he comes with his angels. He comes in this way because that is how it is promised. Not because a person likes it a certain way, but because God already has it in his program that it should be that way. On page 4 of the Book of Quotation, look, on paragraph 8, it tells us there, it says, I truly believe that before the church can have the rapture, it's got to have rapturing faith. We can't even have faith for divine healing, let alone rapturing faith. And he said this in 53, and later in 63, he spoke about that in the Book of the Seals, where he said that we can't have enough faith for divine healing hardly. He continues to say, we got to have a faith that'll change and quicken this body that and be taken away. There we have to come up hither, that faith to go up and be placed in that age where the rapturing faith will be spoken and the people who will be transformed would receive it. I believe there's a church on its road tonight, a power of the living God, that man will speak the word here and it'll flash like lightning. Didn't he say that in Matthew chapter 24?
Verso
on verse
29, donde nos dice,
where he tells us,
vamos a ver aquí,
let's see here.
Verso 31,
verse 31 says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, and also in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, notice, there he's speaking to us about that power of the divine God. He says, a power of the living God, that man will speak the word here and there, and it'll flash like lightning. What we read there of chapter 24, verse 27, and also verse 31, because it is the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, and a church is coming out, not a psychologist. A psychologist, not some of this put on, make believe, but a true, real, genuine, anointed, Holy Ghost called out church. And on the right side, he writes upwards like lightning, and above he writes, he will speak, and he draws a cornerstone. And he writes, rapturing faith. And also on page 32 of the Book of Quotations, on the paragraph 267, it says, and then, when God's people begin to gather back together, there's unity, there's power, see? And whenever God's people get together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There will be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up, and there he draws an arrow and a cornerstone in the ages. It'll be the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. That is the excerpt that we read directly from the message where he wrote what we read a few minutes ago there. Here is the excerpt. And above he writes, rapturing time, rapturing faith. And he also writes, the gathering is above, and he draws a cornerstone. Where is the gathering? Above, in the come up hither. And our brother William continues to say, and in Revelation chapter 22 verse 12, it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. The rewards will be according to his work. Eternal life is for receiving Christ as Savior, and then the rewards are for what you have worked in the work of Christ in your life as a believer in Christ, in the divine program which has sub-programs, and the believers in Christ of the last day will be working in each program of Christ for that stage. For which stage? For that stage, it says that there will also be believers in Christ working for that stage, not standing around with their arms folded, but rather working with that seventh seal as well. And the believers in Christ of the last day will be working in each program of Christ for that stage with love, dedication, and respect for Christ and for his work pertaining into the different programs and projects that he has in the divine program for this end time. The Omnipotent has been speaking for each age, and wonders and miracles were taking place. That is how it will be at this end time in the age of the cornerstone. Notice, he is saying that in the age of the cornerstone, when that time comes, that is how it will be, because we were still living in the dispensation of grace, but after the dispensation of grace would come to the age of the cornerstone, the come up hither, the Omnipotent will be speaking, and wonders and miracles will be happening at this end time. How will he be speaking? through that prophet messenger. But don't just look at the physical miracles like divine healings or miracles in the field of divine healing. But there are greater miracles than the healing of a paralyzed person or of a blind person. For a person's eyes to be opened to the divine program and for them to receive the Christ as their Savior. Notice that that was the dispensation of grace. And that miracle, that is greater miracle than the miracle of a blind man receiving his sight. Notice, for the dispensation of grace, that was the greatest miracle for a person. But notice, in the dispensation of the kingdom, what is the greatest miracle? Good question. The greatest miracle is seeing the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. That is the greatest miracle, greater than a physical healing. It says, he goes on to say, because his spiritual eyes are opened to see the divine program and to see Christ manifesting in the midst of his church, opening the eyes of those who are blind to God's program for the end time. So there are physical miracles, but there are miracles that have to do with the spiritual realm, and he will open our spiritual eyes, he will enlighten our understanding, he will enlighten us in the scriptures to us, he will open the scriptures to us, and then we will say, now I understand the whole divine program, now I understand above all the program that has to do with this end time and what has to do with me in God's program. Those are the ones above in the age of the cornerstone who at this end time have said that, now I understand, Lord, the whole divine program. Now I understand, Lord, the whole program that's relevant at this end time. And now I understand everything that has to do with me in the age of the cornerstone. And look, on page 111, in paragraph 975, it tells us, think of that. The word of God is that a discerner of the intents of the heart, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the whole, and of the spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The word is made flesh. Hallelujah. The word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by spiritual signs perfectly to bring to you a perfect faith for a perfect rapture. And there on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and a star of David. And above he writes, the word in the flesh brings the perfect faith, rapturing faith in the manifestation of God at this end time, which is the word in flesh. What is he bringing to the church bride? He brings the perfect faith, the rapturing faith, in the come up hither. Come up hither. That is the subject that we have for this occasion. Let's stand up and thus leave on this occasion, under this subject, come up hither, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.